Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 22, 2014, or the 24th day of the 4th lunar month of 2018. We will start our second service on this day with a song entitled, Yahshua is Coming Soon. Troublesome times are here, filling this heart with fear. Freedom we hold dear, there is a stay. Come in your heart to your station, the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians the way. Yahshua is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall lie, the righteous meet in the sky, going where no one died, heavenward bound. Love of so many cold, losing their home of gold. This in Yah's word is told, evils abound. When these times come to pass, nearing the end at last, it will come very fast, trumpets will sound. Yahshua is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their dooms, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, the righteous meet in the sky, going where no one died, heavenward bound. Troubles will soon be your happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore, free from all care. Rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye. Homeward we then will fly, glory to share. Yahshua is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, the righteous meet in the sky. Going where no one died, heaven will bow. Heaven red down. A writer speaks, this is part two, we're on Time of Greetings, volume 1, number 31. It's the subtitle, The Old Family Tree, but this is part two of the writer speaks. Then we're on page 5, we're going to just pick up where we left off on our last one, do a little overview. In Isaiah 11:10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. That is, in the day of the branch, in the antipical apostolic period, in the 12th hour, in the day that this family tree is completed, then it is that the kingdom of the peace, the church purified, sprouts, so to speak, from the ground up. It then stands for an instant unto the people, and unto it shall the Gentiles seek for the salvation. Plainly then, this old family tree, kingdom, is to be set up while probation lasts. Moreover, the place where it is to stand and rest shall be glorious. It is therefore to have its own location and its own boundary line. It is to be for the gathering of the people, the ark of today, as was Noah's ark in the Noah's day. So we are again brought unto the same truth, which is Isaiah chapter 2 and Micah 4 teach. Isaiah 11, 11, 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Patros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. For the Yahshua is to recover the remnant of those that are spared of his people, and the day that this kingdom is set up, that is, the kingdom is set, then those who are left behind among the Gentiles, those who seek after the ensign, the Yahweh is to recover them. Actually, this is Yahshua, is to recover them. But this second recovery of his people, declares inspiration, is to be from the four corners of the earth. The first, as you know, was from Egypt only, with Moses coming out in about 1500 B.C. Isaiah 11:13-15. For the envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. There shall be no sinner among them, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistine toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom, and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Yahweh shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. Both kingdoms, Israel, sometimes called the house of Ephraim, and Judah, are to be restored and united in the Antitype. They shall never again envy or vex each other. And through Ezekiel's command, the Yahweh, say unto them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land, and will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with the detestable things, and nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim. Ezekiel 37:19-23. Thus it is that in the days of these kings, not after their days, shall the Elohim of the heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it the kingdom shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without the hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Elohim hath made known unto the king of what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Daniel 2:44-45. So this prophecy meets its fulfillment now in the 12th hour, and with the Elijah David. And with the Elijah David, this vision is sure. The interpretation is sure. If the kingdom is to destroy all these kingdoms, then it must be set up before these kingdoms are destroyed, or the stone that is cut out of the mountain in the days of these kings is in itself to become a great mountain, and in itself the kingdom is to fill the whole earth, Daniel 2:35-45. In the days of Moses, the Yahweh smote but one stream, the Red Sea, and one nation, Egypt. And now, Yahweh promises to smite every stream, all seven, and causes people from the four corners of the earth to reach their land without so much as getting their feet wet. Although today, as in most Moses' day, such a thing seems utterly impossible, yet it is certain that just as Elohim made it possible then, he will now too. The battle is Yahshua's. The will is ours. We have nothing to do but to obey his voice. That is our only duty, brother, sister. There is no Bible truth plainer than it, and there is no truth as important at this time as is this truth. These are the very reasons that it either saves or destroys. For the accepting of it is for the having all of your sins blotted out. For the rejection of this of the message is for the sin against the Holy Spirit. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Is Elohim's counsel for you and for me. You well know now that their truth is irrefutable. Try and see it for yourself. Isaiah 11:16. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came out of the land of Egypt. Page 8 of Time of Reading, Volume 1, number 31, we're on Isaiah 11:16, last paragraph. Okay, and there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came out of the land of Egypt. After the first fruits of the Lamb are gone to Mount Zion, there shall be a highway for the second fruits, for those who are still in Assyria, for the world. In other words, all obstruction shall be removed. For our faith shall not fail us, and our hope shall not be in vain. For Elohim is not forsaken the earth. He who rules and guides the stars in their unerring path is able to lead us safely to our own land. Indeed, just as not one of them fails in this course, so not one of Elohim's promises shall ever fail to materialize. Let no one deceive you in this. Study verse by verse, word for word. Read, stop, and think. Do not hastily pass by this quality of most urgent truth. For as it was in the days of the flood, so shall it be now, says the Yahweh, Matthew 24:37. For the firstborn firstfruits who failed to paint the door post with the sacrificial blood in the first Exodus, the type perished. So any of the firstfruits of the day who fails to comply with the demands of the message for today will as certainly perish as the angel slaughter weapons, Ezekiel 9:5-6, or at the angel's slaughter weapons. Okay, so who were the first fruits today? Gilead Center. They were the first fruits. House of Esau, firstborn. Okay. But the only thing is, they were like the Egyptians down in Egypt. They failed to paint their doorposts with the blood of the Lamb because they despised the sacrificial system of the Hebrews. And they weren't about to copy anything that they did. That's why they didn't paint the blood on the doorpost. Brother Johnson didn't paint the blood on his doorpost at the Passover 2002. That's why they perished. Isaiah 12:1-3. And in that day thou shalt say, O Yahweh, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, Elohim is my salvation, I will trust. So it actually says, behold, Yahshua, the Son, is my salvation. For I will trust and not be afraid, for the Yahshua Messiah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with the joy shall you draw water out of the wells of the salvation. And that day, that is in the day that his people are being gathered from the four corners of the earth, and that day are they thus to praise him, because they will plainly see that his anger has been turned away from them. They will positively know that he is their salvation, their fear, and their strength. They will therefore with a greater joy drink in the freshly revealed truths of the Bible. Isaiah 12:4. And in that day shall ye say, praise Yahweh, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. In that day, that is, in the gathering time, shall they encourage one another to praise Yahweh, to call upon his name, and to declare his doings among the people. They will then wholeheartedly and with knowledge be doing real and profitable missionary work. Isaiah 12:5-6. Sing unto Yahweh, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. You certainly will not let anything hinder or stifle your voice now that the Elohim commands to cry out and shout. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah 32:1-2. Well, you know, with the house of David, and you have the one lone prophet, Elijah, that's interpreting all of these truths. Well, it says, a man shall be as an hiding place. The whole world, once they see this ensign set up here, they're going to come to this, to the light of this ensign. Just like a lighthouse on a hillside for all the ships at sea. No, this is not what popular theology teaches, but you admit that this is what the Bible teaches, and that we must believe rather than men. Okay. It says, thus far, faith in the Elohim's promises has not failed us. And why will he fail us now? Never. For the faith with the works will bring everything into due season. For the adversaries of the truth shall fail, but the truth shall triumph, and the faithful with it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of the Elohim, so that things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, Abel offered unto Elohim a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. For the Yahweh Elohim testifying of his gift, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. By the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because Elohim had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased Yahweh Elohim. But without faith in the blood of Yahshua, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto the Yahweh Elohim must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, by faith in the blood of the Yahshua, Noah, being warned of the Elohim of the things not seen as yet, moved with the fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. By the faith in the blood, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place that he should ask to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By the faith in the blood, he sojourned in the land of the promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is the Yahweh. Through the faith in the blood also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea ashore innumerable. For these all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore Elohim is not ashamed to be called their Elohim, for he hath prepared for them a city. By the faith in the blood, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thine seed be called, accounting that Elohim was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By the faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, concerning things to come. By the faith in the blood, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By the faith in the blood of Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By the faith in the blood, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Elohim than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of the Yahshua greater riches than the treasures in the Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By the faith in the blood, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured it, as seeing him who is invisible. Through the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, that represented the blood of Yahshua, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By the faith in the blood, they passed through the Red Sea as by the dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, it says, the harlot perished not, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through the faith and the blood of the Yahshua subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, or waxed violent in the fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had child of the cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of the bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, for they wandered about in the sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains and in the dens and the caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, received not the promise. For the Elohim having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Hebrews 11:1-40. Now while the eternal records are being made, will you not cause your name to be written among the great heroes of the Elohim? How can you afford to eternally lose out at such a late hour? And indeed, that would go for now, where we're in this last hour, the 12th hour. Okay, that's the end of volume of one of Time of Greeting, number 31. I guess we can continue right on into number 32. And it's entitled Father's Preferred Deceit, The Children Given Grace, March 15, 1947. It says, we shall study the 30th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the very first verse. Okay, it says, we're going to study the 30th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the very first verse. Okay, here, as in other chapters of the Isaiah's prophecy, you will notice that a part of the chapter, in this instance, the first 17 verses, speaks of the sins of the ancient Israel, the fathers of the antitypical Israel, and of their fall from the power. But the remainder of the chapter speaks of the Israel in the latter days, the days in which antitypical Israel rises to power. Let us now consider Isaiah 30, verse 1 and 2. Woe unto the rebellious children, saith Yahweh, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of the Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Evidently, Elohim's people in those days were guilty of these sins, instead of trusting in Yahweh to deliver them from their enemies, they trusted in Pharaoh. What a poor support to lean on. As a result, they were plainly told, Isaiah 30, verse 3-7, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Ham. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help nor profit, but a shame, and also a reproach, the burden of the beast of the south, into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence came the young and the old lion, the viper and the fire-flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of the young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of the camels, unto a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in the vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, the strength is to sit still. This, as you know, is exactly what befell Elohim's ancient people. How much better it is to sit still, to wait on the Yahweh for the help when you are helpless, than to solicit the help of his enemies. Isaiah 30, verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. True, they killed the prophets for the warning of the people of their sin. But Elohim decreed that the prophets' writings against the existing sin must remain intact to be read as object lessons by the generations that were to follow thereafter. For the Yahweh's people of today, therefore, have no excuse for the repeating of the mistakes of their predecessors. If they do repeat the sins of those who have gone before them, however, then their guilt will bring up on them even greater doom than was brought upon the Jews. And if no one can deny that Isaiah's prophecy against the Jews were fulfilled, and who can dare say that they will not be fulfilled against us if we fail as they did? Isaiah 30:9-10. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Yahweh, which say unto the seers, see not, and unto the prophets, prophesy not. Unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. By the killing of the prophets for their frank speaking, Elohim's ancient people were in effect saying, prophesy unto us deceit. Tell us smooth things. We do not want to know the truth about us. Does this thing still exist among us? Let me tell you an incident that will quickly answer this question. Just the other day from a brother minister, I received a very kindly written letter in which he sincerely expresses his opinion of our literature. He very politely explained that all he has against it is that in it we speak of the sins and mistakes which the leaders of the church commit. If you have love for them, he said, you will speak only good of them. Okay. Alan DeLong, pay close attention if you're hearing this message. Okay. I do appreciate this brother's sincerity in this matter, but I do not appreciate his judgment on it. If he will re-examine the literature, I am sure he will find that we have said nothing, but only what the scriptures say on the subject for our time. Therefore, his burden in the actuality is directed not against us, but against Elohim himself. Our business, brother, sister, is not to find fault with either the ministry or the laity, but to truthfully bring to light what the scriptures have to say unto Elohim's people of today. We cannot do otherwise. Elohim helping us, Ezekiel's charge is our charge. And I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest them not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Ezekiel 3:18. When the Jews found fault with the prophets for speaking of the sins in which the priests were indulging, they actually said, Isaiah 30:11, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Spiritual blindness is a cruel thing. Its victims can hardly be made to see either their sins or the righteousness of the Yahweh. They misinterpret and misapply everything that is intended for their own good. Isaiah 30:12-13. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay up on, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. If the spiritual eyes of the Elohim's ancient people could possibly have been opened, if they could have seen that their sins were undermining the foundation upon which they were standing, they would not have spit upon the faces of the prophets for warning them of their plight. Indeed not. Instead, they would have welcomed the prophet. Isaiah 30:14. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken into pieces. He shall not spare it, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sword to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. Who dares deny that their kingdom thus fell? All these things came upon them only because they refused to hear the prophet. Isaiah 30:15-18. For thus saith Yahweh Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee. and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of fire shall ye flee, till ye be lifted as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on a hill. And therefore will Yahweh wait that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Yahweh is the Elohim of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Because there is nothing that could have been done to save our ancestors from the shame, Yahweh let the nations beat his people and scatter them to the four winds. He nevertheless left the promise that he would wait until they, as a people, have gone through their period of the prodigality, until they, as individuals, discover their mistakes and give the Yahweh opportunity to display his grace unto them. Those who wait for him are certain to receive his blessing. With the 18th verse comes the dividing line between the account of the Elohim's ancient people and the forecast of his people's future in the latter days. Up until this point is the record of the former. Now concerning the promises unto the latter, we read Isaiah 30, verse 19. For the people shall dwell in the Zion at the Yahusha. Thou shalt weep no more, for he will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. What is the reason that Elohim so patiently waits, and why does he promise his grace so abundantly unto his people? Because he is determined that they shall dwell in Zion at the Yahusha. For his aim is to take them back there and to give them rest. His purpose is to end their weeping, to hear their prayers, and to grant their needs. So it is that while the Elohim's ancient people faced destruction, punishment, and desolation, we now are facing restoration, pity, and grace. There's that restoration again. That's really what our series is all about, is restoration of this whole earth in these last days. Today we have the same promise that the people had in the Moses day, yes, greater. Isaiah 30, verse 20. And though the Yahweh give you the bread of the adversity and the water of the affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Although Elohim anciently permitted the people's teachers, their prophets, to be pushed into a corner, abused and slaughtered, He will permit it no longer, for the eyes of his people shall see their Elohim-appointed teachers as they are brought to the front. Isaiah 30, verse 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn unto the right hand and when ye turn to the left. This is a verse that Yahweh gave us out the sand hill in 2002 at the Atonement. We went to the sand hills and asked Brother Johnson to come and hear Elijah's message, and he refused. This is the message he gave us. After the 3 o'clock hour passed in the afternoon, the ninth hour, he gave me the scripture, Isaiah 30, verse 21. And thine eyes shall hear, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk in, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. There is therefore no need for any of us to go wrong. There is no excuse for making mistakes which we ought not to make. Isaiah 30, verse 22. Ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of the silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of the gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a minstrel's cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. No, Elohim's faithful people will not hold to anything that displeases the Yahweh. Not only will they cast away all idolatrous things, but they will actually hate them. Isaiah 30, verse 23. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous, and that day shall thy cattle feed in the large pastures. When we comply with all of Elohim's requirements, then it is that we will prosper. Then it is that the devourer shall be rebuked, and the curse is kept back from us. We should therefore now realize that prosperity does not depend merely upon one's ability, but that it depends even more upon the Elohim's approval of one's deeds. Isaiah 30:24. For the oxen likewise and the young asses that ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. If our cattle are to have clean feed, then how much more important that we ourselves have spiritual food that is winnowed by the Spirit of Truth. This they are to have. Isaiah 30:25. And there shall be upon every high mountain, upon every high hill, rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter. When the towers fall, obviously when the Elohim's waters of the salvation cover the earth, even to the tops of mountains, so to speak, then the water towers, the pulpits, which the people, the watchtowers, the pulpits, which the people have on their own initiative built, will fall. Doubtless the day of the slaughter is the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. So again, we are brought face to face with the reality that the truth does one of the two things. If it cannot save or destroy, for this truth unto which you are listening today will verily spread throughout the world as far spreads in the stubble. Matters not to attempt to stop Elohim's truth. I know that all such will stumble and fall and not be found, but that the truth shall cover the earth. Isaiah 30:26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, and the day that the Yahweh bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Were this not a figure of speech, were the sun actually to become 7 times hotter than it is, then the earth itself would go into flames. Obviously, the sun in this instance is used figuratively to illustrate that the light of the Elohim's word, now while he is binding the wound of his people, is to increase sevenfold. All the light that there is will burst upon the earth, as does the sun after a cloudy day. Moreover, the moon, the church, the agency which reflects the rays of the sun into the dark places of the earth, will as a result accommodate the people, not much better than she has hitherto before, but perfectly. Already we see the light of the Elohim's word rising higher and higher with each passing week. Isaiah 30:27. Behold, the name of the Yahweh cometh from far, burning with his anger. And the burden of this is actually Yahshua, for the name of the Yahshua cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy, for his lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as he devouring fire. Look, commands the Yahweh, until the unveiling of these truths, indicates but one thing, that we are approaching the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, the day in which there shall be but one Yahweh and his name one, or one Yahshua, the Son, and his name one, Isaiah 30:28, and his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck, to sift the nations with a sieve of, and there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. For the Yahshua's breath, his written word, will rise, revealed, truth will increase, up and up until it shall reach to the midst of the neck, as it were, to sift the nation. For the vain shall fall, but the humble, those that wait for the Yahshua, shall stand. Well, we waited for the Yahshua for 32 years. Out there in Kermit, Texas, we waited for 32 years, and we can wait a little longer. Isaiah 30:29. You shall have a song as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of the heart, as when one goeth with the pipe to come into the mountain of the Yahshua, unto the mighty one of Israel. Now that's the mighty one is Yahshua. That's the mountain of the Yahweh the Father, unto the mighty one of the Israel. chapter where it says, the rejecter of Elohim's word may lament and gnash their teeth in the outer darkness, but the obedient, those who wait for the Yahshua, shall sing as when a holy solemnity is kept, and shall, as it were, play with the pipe instrument to come into the mountain, parentheses, kingdom of the Yahshua. Isaiah 30:30, and the Yahweh shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of his arm, with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, and with a scattering and a tempest and hailstones. For the Yahweh is about to thus manifest his power and vindicate his cause, for the days of silence are almost past. Isaiah 30:31-33. For through the voice of the Yahshua shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod, and in every place where the ground of staff shall pass, which the Yahshua shall lay upon him, it shall be with tablets and harps, and in the battles of the shaking, when he fight with it. For Topheth is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared, he hath made it deep and large. For the power thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Yahshua like a stream of the brimstone doth kindle it. If the Elohim's people in the ancient days had believed what the prophets told them, what a difference it would have made. Their mistakes must now become our knowledge, our stepping stones of the escape. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Yahshua Messiah, who is faithful unto him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of the entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with the faith in them that heard it. Again, he limited a certain day, saying unto David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Hebrews 3:1-2 and Hebrews 4:1-7. Our forefathers preferred deceit. We, though, ought to now gladly respond unto mercy's plea and thus obtain grace. End of Town of Greeting, Volume 1, Number 32. Well, we have about 10 minutes left for our study. We're going to go on into Volume 1, Number 33. The diversion, the time, and the deliverance. Prayer thought, taken from the Mount of Blessings for this study, is at page 90. It says, nations see Eden perish, desert blossom, and a highway unto Zion. The spoil of spoils taken by the lamb and the weak. The dispersion, the time, and the deliverance. We'll go ahead and read the prayer thought, Mount of Blessings, page 190. Every promise in the word of the Elohim furnishes us with subject matter for prayer, presenting the pledged word of the Yahweh as our assurance. Whatever spiritual blessings we need, it is our privilege to claim through the Yahshua. We may tell the Yahweh, the Father, with the simplicity of a child, exactly what we need. We may state unto him our temporal matters, asking him for bread and raiment, as well as for the bread of life and the robe of Yahshua's righteousness. Your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, and you are invited to ask him concerning them. It is through the name of Yahshua that every favor is received. Elohim will honor that name and will supply your necessities from the riches of his liberality. Let us now summarize what we should pray for this afternoon. We need to pray for solid faith and the assurance that regardless of what spiritual and temporal blessings we may need, it is our privilege to go to the Yahweh with the simplicity of a child and claim these blessings in the name of Yahshua. We need to pray for help to take Elohim at his word, pray for a realization that he means just what he says when he promises to honor the name of Yahshua and supply all the necessities from his immeasurable riches. Okay, it says the dispersion of the time and the delivery. This text of address by the Deep Health of March 22nd, 1947. Okay, it says this afternoon we are to study Isaiah chapter 31 and 32. In these chapters we shall see the cause of Zion's captivity by the Gentiles, their time limit, and antitypical Israel's deliverance. And this is what's going on right now. We got this war going on in Jerusalem right here today, and in Gaza, the West Bank. And we've got demonstrations in France and in London, England. Okay, and so let us look now in the Isaiah 31, 1-4. Woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Yahweh, yet he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men, and not Elohim, and their horses flesh, and not spirit. And the Yahweh shall stretch out his hand, and both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fall together. For thus hath the Yahweh spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of the shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Yahweh of the host come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. This is Yahshua, the Son of Hosts. He's going to come down to fight for the Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. And that's in Israel, and no doubt that's going to be right here in Texas, right here where we're at here today. So the Yahweh permitted his ancient kingdom to be taken by the Gentiles. The scripture shows that he will soon deliver it. Not only will he deliver his people and Mount Zion, but he will defend them also. As 31:5-6, as birds flying, so will the Yahshua of the host that defend Yahushua, defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. Having now come to the time of their deliverance, the Yahshua is pleading with his people to turn unto him to reform. Isaiah 31:7, for in that day every man shall cast away his idols of the silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. To turn unto him, he explains, is to cast away every idol. When such great revival reformation takes place among Elohim's people, he continues. Isaiah 31:8-9, then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be disinfected, and he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the incense, saith the Yahshua, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. Because of the idolatry, the Assyrian was permitted to take Elohim's ancient people and their present land. And certain it is that the Assyrian will control the land just so long as the Elohim people continue in idolatry. But just as soon as all idols are cast aside, yes, as soon as the great revival and reformation takes place in the hearts of the people, then the Assyrian, the power that now rules them, shall certainly fall, and Elohim people shall just as certainly return. For the Assyrian shall thus fall not at the sword of a mighty man and not of a mean man, but through the voice of the Yahweh shall the Assyrian be beaten down with smoke with a rod. Isaiah 32:1. Isaiah 32:1-8. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, and the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. For the heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. For the vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainly, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against Yahweh, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. For the instruments also of the churl are evil, for he devises wicked devices to destroy the poor with the lying words, even when the needy speak is right. But the liberal devises liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Okay, that's your Obama and company. That's your far-left Democrats today, as well in our government. Turn again unto his ancient people. Inspiration declared that though their kingdom was doomed to fall, yet one day a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. The king is antithetical David, and the princess that rules in judgment is your 144,000. That in that day a man shall be as an hiding place, as a water in a dry place, and as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah 32:2. That's antithetical Elijah, folks. That though the people were spiritually blind and could not see, yet there is a day of coming when those who have eyes shall clearly see, and those who have ears shall plainly hear. That the heart of the rash shall then understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers be ready to speak plainly. That the vile person shall then be recognized as vile, and the churl shall no more be called bountiful. That the vile persons and hypocrites shall be known as those who speak error against the Yahshua, and who endeavor to cheat the spiritually hungry and thirsty soul. That on the other hand, the churl will be seen to be those who devise wicked means by which to make the poor even poor. Isaiah 32:7. Isaiah 32:9-14. Rise up, you women that are at ease. Hear my voice, you careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, you careless women, for the vintage shall fail. The gathering shall not come. Tremble, you women that are at ease. Be troubled, you careless ones. Strip you, and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the tits, for the pleasant field, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens, forever a joy of wild asses and a pasture of flocks. The women here referred to are doubtless Aholah and Aholabah, Ezekiel 23, the figurative names of Judah and Israel. Here is described their dispersion among the Gentiles, the punishment which they were to bear. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archives to hear this message. We're going to close now with a song. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right, I'll be here. If my heart is right, when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my rope is tight when he calls me, if my rope is tight, I will hear. If my rope is tight when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.